Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the reject the enemy. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Today is February 11th, the year 2024, and you have tuned in to a wonderful segment, part live, part pre-recorded, A Word for My People. We'll be right back after our opening theme song.
People, everybody trying to do things their own way, but everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step on, give advice, make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words that make people, and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are. Cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start, word can buy. From ideas deep in your mind, it's words that make people, and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your mind.
Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Let us God's peace be with you and his mercies and blessings. Welcome to another segment of Words Made People. I am your host, Michael Sahir. And today we're going to talk about Ramadan. The first part is going to be comments and reflections for me. And if you want to press one and comment on what I say, we can do that. But then later on, we're going to play a repeat of a wonderful program I did years ago with Imam Nasser Ahmed on this topic of Ramadan, because he has a lot of wisdom, a lot of insight. And so we want to talk about that, about the etiquettes of Ramadan. This is really, I've seen the date. Wow, that was done with him in 2017. So when we get into the recorded portion, it's going to be a seven-year-old recording. But the information is still good. The information is still vital and appropriate. So when we get into the recorded part, I mentioned just again that you may hear certain comments that lets you know it is a recorded portion of our program today. But right now, we're going to go with live talk and comments on a topic that I title Ramadan Ready Since Birth. We were born ready for Ramadan. Or we can say it this way here, we were born equipped to do Ramadan, enjoy Ramadan, learn from Ramadan, and therefore get the benefits of Ramadan. We were born equipped for five salats. We were born equipped to make shahada. Allah says in Surah 30, Ayah 30, that he made the religion on the same natural pattern that he made man, and that is the standard for religion. Allah is merciful. He's Ar-Rahman. He's the merciful benefactor. That means that he gave us benefits that we didn't know we needed, didn't have to ask for them, but we received them. That's Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim are mercies that we really ask for, that we have developed a consciousness to seek this Rahim. But the Rahman comes automatically. The church people see it this way, for Rahman, that first mercy, that benefiting mercy, they say the sun shine on the blessed and the unblessed. That's like Rahman. All the benefits, the mercies we have, that's Rahman. But Rahim, and that's why it's given the definition redeemer. Re mean again. It's like an additional blessing. It is there for every human being, but sometimes every human being don't wake up to their human potential, and they miss getting their second benefit, or Rahim. So we're going to keep to our tradition and words, my people. Before getting into our topic, we always seek Allah's guidance from the best collection of words for making people. And as Muslims, we would put on the table this argument, this conversation. There is no better collection of words for making people than the words of the Quran. And I repeat that. There is no collection, a body of knowledge of words designed perfectly by our Creator for making people than the words of the Quran. Words make people. And so we're going to read from the Quran. We always seek Allah's protection. You say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." And in English it is, "I seek refuge." A'udhu. I seek refuge. Billahi. Elahi is saying with Allah. Min is saying from. Min is shaitan, away from. From Satan, the rejected enemy. So collected, I seek refuge protection with Allah from, away from Satan, the rejected enemy. And then next we say, before reading the Quran, you know, dear people, the Quran is such a marvelous book. And see, we just don't read the Quran like we do the newspaper or some magazine or some billboard. We have to mentally and spiritually prepare ourselves by saying these two phrases. I gave one already. That is, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And the next phrase we say before reading the Quran, unless it is chapter 9, you do not say this next phrase before chapter 9. And that is, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Those are the phrases we say before reading our sacred text. And reading from chapter 2, verse 183. Yes, I'm reading, going to read here. And it says to us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, kutiba alayka asiyamu, kutiba, prescribed. We have prescribed upon you, alaykum, upon you, siyamu, fasting. Fasting. Kama kutiba ala alladhina qablikum, as it was prescribed to those before you. La'allakum tattaquna, so that you may learn tattaquna. What is tattaquna? You can hear the word taqwa in tattaquna. They're from the same root. Now, Yusuf Ali used the word self-restraint, but this self-restraint comes with a God consciousness. Fasting brings us to a deeper consciousness of our Creator, of Allah, our Creator. So while we are fasting, we are more dedicated. We do more studying. We should do more reading. We should do more salats. Do more sunnah prayers during Ramadan. And the reading is 1/30 of the Quran each day of the month of Ramadan. So by the end of the month, we have once again read the entire Quran from cover to cover. So dear believers, dear people, we were born ready for Ramadan. We had to grow into the potential of it. But when Allah created us, while yet in the wombs of our mother, had instilled in us everything needed to be a Muslim by nature, and then by Muslim by consciousness or a willing, conscious submission. Allah fully equipped every human being with that potential. And the potential sometimes it manifests, and sometimes it does not. The shaitan will give us artificial appetites to deny us that connection with that original human nature, with that original fitra, with the original natural ability to fast in Ramadan. Through artificial appetites, the shaitan will get in the way, block the connection. So Ramadan trains us to control natural appetites, food, water, sexual intercourse, right? It trains us to control natural appetites. And when you get that discipline in you, and you begin to love and love that feeling that discipline gives you, you can handle natural appetites. Well, then, unnatural appetites can't bother you at all because you are in tune with your nature, with your fitra. That's why the celebration at the end of Ramadan is called Eid al-Fitra. Fitra, right? Eid al-Fitra, because Ramadan brings us back in contact with our fitra. So what is our fitra? Imam Muhammad says, I always include the word original when you say nature. Don't say we're fitra if our nature and leave out the word original. Our fitra is our original nature. And so Ramadan, 30 days of fasting in Ramadan, giving us that discipline each day, first day, second day, a little stronger, third day, even more stronger, and continues to grow to take us away from being controlled by appetites and make us the master, the ruler over our passions, over our appetites. And in place of the food and drink, you take in the Quran. You feast, as our brother Mushahid always say, fasting in Ramadan and feasting on the Quran. And when that happens, by the end of the month, we're ready for the world. Another connection given to us by Imam W.D. Muhammad. No coincidence that Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic calendar. And he gave a connection with that ninth month with the baby being in the womb in 9 months. As he said from the beginning, we were born naturally ready to enjoy Ramadan, even on those long, hot summer days. We know we are pleasing our Lord. So we are born naturally ready. The baby comes in 9 months, and we fast in the ninth month. Imam Muhammad, he explained that the baby was a physical entity, the physical body of the baby, it is complete really in 8 months. But it has to go through 30 days. 30 days of being in the womb of the mother. For what reason? Why do it stay the 30 additional days? For the same reason that we fast for 30 days. To learn self-control, to be constrained, to learn the disciplines. The baby may kick, throw an elbow, whatever, but the womb contains it and is given it its discipline. And the baby eats in the dark. And we in Ramadan, we eat in the dark. We eat at nighttime. All this has beautiful messages and beautiful connections. Ramadan, as a word, it means to wrap a thing to protect it from the heat. That's the meaning of Ramadan. And during the hot months, they would wrap the hoofs or the feet of the camel with a cloth to protect the feet or the hoof of the camel from the hot sand. And Ramadan does the same thing for us. It gives us a wrapping, a protection, to protect us from the passions, the hot passions of sin, hot passions of appetite. That's why it shows the picture of the jinn being made from a fire. Fires are hot. And jinns tend to be emotional. Jinns tend to be reactionary. Jinns follow appetites and passions. They even came up with cartoons showing the genie in the bottle. But if you rub that bottle, and when you rub something, you create friction, and the friction creates heat, and that brings out the jinn. And so the Quran makes it plain. It says, jinn says, you made me from a fire, free of smoke. they're free of smugglers, the way of saying free of guilt or free of blame. That was the Iblis talking, right? They're never wrong. They're never guilty. They want everything to go their way. We have friends like that. Probably got somebody in our family like that. They are controlled by their jinn nature. But we got to put that genie back in the bottle, right? Put that cork back in there. But back to my thoughts. Ramadan is capturing that ninth month because it is saying that the baby is born at the end of 9 months, free of all sin. Likewise, we emerge from Ramadan at the end. And again, it's the ninth month. If you fast correctly, obeyed your Lord, all your sins are forgiven, and you emerge out of the ninth month ready for the world, free of sin, as the baby comes here out of the womb of the mother at the end of the ninth month, ready for the world. Ready for the world. So Ramadan is a natural part of our very nature. It's a very part of every human being. I don't care if they are Christian or a Jew or atheist. In their DNA, in their potential, I should say it that way, is all the equipment needed to be a good Muslim. And Prophet Muhammad said, peace be upon the Prophet, every child is born that way. Every child is born Muslim. Every child is born on the pattern of Adam. But their mothers, their parents, he said their parents. It really is saying society. Though it says parents, it's really saying their society makes them a Christian or a Jew. There's no originality. This is no disrespect to my Jewish Christians, you know, Jewish friends and Christian friends. But there's no original nature that's called Jew. There is none. Jew came from the man Judah. We know that. That's the history that they wrote. There is no original nature for Jesus, as they say. But if you understand the word Christ, it's really saying original nature, but that's not how they teach it. But as is given in the church society, there is no origin in our original makeup as given to us by our Creator. Those names came later on when the followers of Jesus in the New Testament went to the city of Antioch, and the people of Antioch gave them that name. However, with the name Muslim, there's no beginning for that name. Not for creation. As long as creation's been here, everything in creation is Muslim. Everything. Except for the shaitan. That's the only thing that's not Muslim. Everything is created by the Creator to submit to the will of the Creator, and fasting brings us back in line with that orbit and brings it back in line. So before I go to the recording, it's a 2017 interview I've done with Imam Nasser. Before I go to that, if anybody who's have a question or comment on what I shared so far, you can press 1 on your phone, and I do my best to answer your question, your concern. And if not, then we will go to the recording with Imam Nasser Ahmed. Okay, so she just asked that your comments be on topic. Please stay on topic because we got so much time. So we go to 914. Thank you for calling Words Made People. You have a question or comment on what I just shared?
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
I'm unfortunate.
So here, this is Thomas Shreve, I'm from New York.
Yes, sir, my brother. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. All praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
Right. I just want
yes,
to
sir.
Make say all children, all babies are born Muslim. And it's I know sometimes we say it's the mother, and then it says the parents that make them something other than.
Yeah,
I know sometimes they
can, I never heard him. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Brother Mayo.
Now, we may be saying the same thing. I don't know. I did say mother a minute ago, but that was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I've always heard parents. I never heard mother. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's just a mistake that you made. That some of us make that same mistake. So that's no problem on you there. A lot of us make that same mistake. Now, I just want to.
Yes, sir.
Maybe sometimes it just comes out that we do say mother because we know that mother is the first one that gets that child. So that's why sometimes we do say that the responsibility lies on the mother. So that's how maybe it comes out of our mouth sometimes because we know about the father. It's sometimes it's weeks before he's allowed to touch the baby. He say he might drop
right.
The baby and all kind of things goes on. You know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's just
yeah,
all I would.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. I appreciate
so,
it.
You're quite welcome. All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
I went through it myself. And some other men, we could probably go through it too. When that baby, you first bring the baby home from the hospital, the brother's nervous. He don't want to touch the baby. He's scared he may drop the baby. All kinds of things go to our mind, you know. So I thought I would say that.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned that because, you know, that is true because, I mean, the mother got a 9-month head start on us. She's been carrying the baby for 9 months. So for her, you know, and then. Just by the process of nature, Allah gave her the breast to feed the baby. You know, we ain't got that. You know, so we got big hands, stomach, our hands are all big and hard and callous and all that. You know, we'll be big and bold. We think you know, we get that baby in our hand, boy, and it changed the whole thing about you because she said, man, I don't want to hurt this baby. You know, I don't want to hurt this baby. And, you know, so, but then there's some man. They've been around mother for has so many babies and all that. They get used to it, you know. So we're gonna take your advice, but I'm gonna put you on hold. You can press 1 and go back out of the queue. I'm gonna go to my next caller here, please.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Alaikum assalam. Go to our next caller. Again, I'm asking for questions on the topic, but comments I just made. Call us on 856. Thank you for calling Words Make People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please?
Assalamualaikum, Sultana Ali from New Jersey.
Dr. Sultan.
Okay, yeah. Now, when a baby is born, do you think it's complete?
It is complete with its potential. Yes.
No, potential and complete. Potential means it can be completed, and complete means it's all done.
Well, that's what. Well, let me, if I may finish my answer, please.
Okay.
Allah, in his mercy,
mm-hmm.
will not send us here incomplete for our potential. But he also gives us limited free will. Now, if we miss bringing out the potential, then that's on us. Or maybe some other factors in society may deny us the opportunity. But Allah made us, if they say in the U.S. language, with certain inalienable rights. We have these rights. Now, will the conditions or the society allow them to come out? That may be a different story, but Allah would not send no one here and make them flunk or make them fail or make them,
okay,
I
think my question was not what you are speaking on now. You're speaking on something completely different. Then my question was, when a baby mm-hmm. is born, is he complete? Okay, he's not. This is the reason why. He has this thing in the middle of his skull, okay, mm-hmm. where the bones have not grown together to cover the brain.
Yeah.
So he's not complete until he comes to us and we give him loving care and what have you and let the bones come together. All of us have a open space in our skull when we were born, but, you know.
Without, I'm going to follow your logic. We were not, okay, when we were born, we had no teeth exposed.
That's right.
When we were born, we were not yet 5 feet tall or 6 feet tall yet, right? When we were born, they even say, it's 18 to 25, most of males, before the frontal lobe of the brain is fully developed.
Okay.
Okay, so in that sense there, that's why I put the word potential in there. Because all the potential is there.
To be complete.
But, but then, if you need to be 110 years old, you're still not complete. Because there's potential still to come out. That's why you still live to be.
That's
why
I said
to
the grave.
Huh?
From the cradle. That's why it says from the cradle to the grave. Because even when you're going down, you're still burning.
So that means that even as we, when we take our last breath, we're still not complete in the sense of being out of the way because we don't know what mercies Allah has for us. We don't know the potential that's still in us. Even at an old age, you say, wow, I did that? Yeah, you get down there. You can do more. I heard a young brother say a few weeks ago, he found out, I guess in his school, they think that the human persons, anybody, that we have only used 10% of our brain's capacity. I don't care how smart you may be, what you may have invented. So Allah's creation is way ahead of us. So complete in that sense, we're not complete. Allah tells us when we complete, when we become Nef Mukmaina. Right? Not Nef Lamara, not Nef Lawama, but Nef Mukmaina, Allah says, into you, to my garden, my ibadi. Into you, pleasing with yourself and pleasing with me. That's when you get into the Jannah.
Just like you said, that Allah's far in front of us. And so was Imam Muhammad because he was a mu'min.
Oh, yes.
You understand? So when we're not a color or this and that, and he said that we need to consider being a Bilalian. Hey, he was a far in front of us because in 2014, they made a trademark called the African American, and it has a serial number. So if you're not a can of peas, you're picking cotton.
All right. Thank you, Sister Sultana. We're going to go with what I recorded here of Imam Nasser Akhbar.
Yes.
He talks about Ramadan, because that's our talk today, Ramadan. You know, so people say, I got to get ready. And my argument, this is a microsite here comment. People can take it or reject it. You don't have to get ready for Ramadan. You're already ready. Allah will not have sent you here unless you were ready. All we got to do is obey. Yes, obey. Now, you may get ready to obey, but all the five pillars are in our natural DNA, our soul. It's in our future. Now, we got to get ready because we're not on a welfare religion. You know, nobody ain't going to do it for us. We got to get busy and do what the Quran says. Save yourself and your families. That's work.
You know, my body must know when it's Ramadan. It actually tells me.
It tells us it's ready.
Because it's
ready.
I'm saying? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah. Well, I'm going to go and play this recording. It may have a commercial. Let me see if they got commercials. Hold on for a second. Let's see what happens here.
To promote my new flower shop, I had one place print my business cards, another print my brochures.
Down low, because I'm not trying to steal somebody else's business. And keep in mind, dear people, this is a recording, so you may hear the. I'm gonna try and get through it, so you won't have to hear the song again, and all that, and we can get right into the talk. But you will hear the regular opening, which is commentary on the Quran, and Imam Nasser here come on as well. Imam Nasser Ahmed from Miami, Florida. And I will say this.
Heat up your summer style at Old Navy with $2.
Okay. This two times a commercial. I'm going to say this while this is going on. Tune into this station IWDM Regular. We have some wonderful programs on here. Every Monday, we have Imam Nazim Pasha at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, which is, of course, 3 p.m. on the West Coast. His show is called Al-Islam-Based Conversations, the ABCs. Every Monday at 6 p.m. On Tuesday, with Imam Rashid Salam, we have a program called The Science of Health and You. And it's quite interesting what you can learn from that. Deal with health and science and, of course, you. Us. On Wednesday, we have the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Brother Mark Shahid out of the STL. As he said, the Show Me State of Missouri. He's on every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And also, I forgot, the one on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. West Coast. And so Brother Mark, he's on Tuesday, on Wednesday and Thursday. Again, Wednesday is the Parenting and Family Reconstructing Learning Lab, followed by the MGM, the Muslim Global Message, I think, every Wednesday. On Thursday, he's on again at 7 p.m. with the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And that's Brother Mark Shahid. At 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 11 a.m. on the West Coast, my master have our Juma prayer every Friday. And on Saturday, we have the Muslim Book Reading Club. And we read a wonderful book about Sister Claire Muhammad. Just every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. on the West Coast. And, of course, we have the program here today. So, with that said, let me see if this is ready yet. Okay, it's playing the song. So we're going to talk a little bit more. Another thing we want to announce is save the day for May 5th. May 5th. On May 5th, we have a national Zoom, really an international Zoom with Muslim and the Folklore. That's a wonderful book that's been written by a Folklore member. He's an Italian Folklore, but he wrote a book about called The Pact, P-A-C-T. Between Imam W.D. Muhammad and Kira Lubick. Well, the book is going to debut on May 5th, and we're going to do a national Zoom. So you can contact me if you don't have a contact with anybody. You can contact me at my email at sahir@sbcglobal.net, and we can see can we get you connected for that May 5th observation. Coming together, Muslim and Folklore in very many cities. We're going to get together in about 20 cities, Muslim and Folklore have dinner. But then at 2 p.m., we're going to go to the National Zoom. And then the other thing is that please support your paper, Muslim Journal. That is our institution, and we are very thankful to Allah for having our own newspaper. Go to MuslimJournal.net and get you a subscription. You can do old school hard copy subscription, or you can do the online subscription. Again, MuslimJournal.net. You see where we are.
Not a problem. Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay.
So we have an exciting show
going
today.
Going to be recording.
With Imam Nasser Ahmed will be joining us here shortly. We're going to speak about the etiquette or the do's and don'ts of Ramadan, or the fasting during the month of Ramadan. With Imam Nasser Ahmed, I'm sure he'll be here very soon. But our show is called Works Make People, where we course, you know, we got the name from an email, W.D. Muhammad's comments. And so we know that the best words to begin our show with are the words of the Holy Quran. And so those are the words that make all people, not just Muslims, but all people. And so we're going to be discussing Ramadan, so we will read some words from the Quran about Ramadan, and maybe by then our guest will be with us, Imam Nasser Ahmed. Okay, so let's begin with our reading, chapter 2 of the Quran, ayat 183. Surah 2, ayat 183. And it's listen. So we always seek God's protection before reading the Quran. We say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And that is to say, I seek protection with God, Allah, from Satan, the rejected enemy. And then we say, Bismillah ar-Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And then we read, and Allah says in the Quran, O you who believe, he says, Ya ayyuhal ladina aminu, O you who believe, or as the Muhammad Asa translation says, O you who have attained to faith. But this is a call to the believers. And it says to us that fasting was described to those before us. It says, "Kutiba alaykum asiyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum." It says that fasting was described to those who came before us, and also alaykum tatakun, those who attain to faith, or consciousness, the taqwa, the God consciousness for us to ward off evil. The Yusuf Ali translation says, for tatakun, it says that you may learn self-restraint, and that is true. But the key word here is in tatakun is saying is the concept of taqwa, or God consciousness. So we are told in this reading here, all you who believe, fasting is prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those before you, that you may learn God consciousness. And it tells us to say fasting for a fixed number of days. But if any of you is ill or on a journey, the prescribed number should be made up from days later. And this, I hope we get into this quite a bit, because I know even from my own personal experience, I was ill one time during Ramadan, and I found myself really being hard-headed and not heeding this advice of the Quran. It says if you're ill, that we should make up the days later. But I was trying to be, I just wanted to be with the group. I wanted to be macho or a Superman Muslim or whatever. And it dawned on me after I began to feel weak that I'm disobeying Allah's advice in the Quran that tells us if we're ill or on a journey, the prescribed number should be made up from days later. He goes on to say, for those who can do it with hardship, it's a ransom, the feeding of one that is indigent or poor. So if you can't fast, you can always feed the poor. You can help the poor. But it says, but he that it will give more of his own free will, it is better for him. And it is better for you that you fast, if you only knew. So alhamdulillah, Allah gave us this book, and I read a portion of the next ayat. It says, it was the month of Ramadan in which the Quran was first bestowed upon from on high. You know, it was the month of Ramadan which the Quran was sent down, the first portion, as a guide to mankind, to give the Hudan Linasi, the guidance to mankind. and that also clear signs for guidance and the guidance and the judgment between right and wrong, the furqan, or the criterion between right and wrong. So this month of Ramadan is full of many, many blessings and many opportunities for success. And so I'm going to say, I don't see Imam Nasser's number on here unless this is him. Assalamu alaikum. Is this Imam Nasser Ahmed? Okay, must not be him. Okay, well, we will, I'm sure he'll be here very soon. But let's have some discussion, Brother Mustafa. You're still here with me, I'm not sure or not.
But yes, sir.
Just
yes,
get some comment, get some commentary and some reflection on the reading of the Quran that we just read.
Mm-hmm.
And go back to the first ayat that I read. It says in Surah 2, ayat 183, "Those you who believe, fasting is prescribed or ordained," is what Muhammad Asad says. He used the word ordained. "Fasting is ordained for you as it was ordained for those before you, so that you may become, so that you might remain God conscious." So it seems it's telling us here plainly that fasting is not new for mankind. The Quran was not the one to bring fasting. Fasting had been a practice before among Christians and Jews and others. So we are following in that line. Yes, sir, we're following in that line. But here it gives us the purpose, the intent, is that we become God conscious. You have any thoughts or comments you want to share on that point?
Well, yes, sir, Brother Mal. It leads us to that guidance. The fasting will lead us to the guidance. And that's what Allah intends for us, to get the guidance. And we know, as believers, we look forward to Ramadan. We look forward to the time of fasting, even though some of us do it throughout the year. But Ramadan is special for the believer because it gives us it strengthens the taqwa, that God consciousness.
Right.
And we know when we fasting, the only thing could cure that hunger in our stomach or the hunger pain that we thinking we having is, you know, calling up on Allah. You know, it gives you more time to thicker, to call up on Allah, to remember Allah, because Allah helps us get through that time. So I can understand that. It brings us to the guidance. That's
the
first ayah that you read. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes. You know, and I like how it says ordained or prescribed, because when I think of prescriber, I think of going to the doctor. And he gives you a prescription, and he prescribes the medicine that's in the accord with our needs. And the fast of Ramadan has been prescribed to us in accord with our human needs so that we can get the best from it. Whatever Allah gave us is designed to bring out the best in us as human beings in service to Him and also in service to mankind. Yes, sir. And then the next ayah reads, it says, "Fasting for a fixed number of days, but if any of you is ill or on a journey," it says, "the prescribed number should be made up from days later." We'll stop on that point right there. And I made commentary on that already, you know, that we should fast for a fixed number of days. And we know in the lunar calendar, the Muslims fasting is based on the lunar calendar. And out of the 12 months, there will either be 29 days or 30 days of each month. There will never be 28 days, and there will never be 31 days. It's either 29 days or 30 days. So whichever, however it may fall, so we're not sure because we have to calculate and have sightings for the hilal, for the new moon. But we know that Allah is telling us here, fasting for a certain number of days. And the typical understanding is for 30 days. And so that's what we're looking forward to obeying that guidance. That we fast for a number of days. There's wisdom even in that. But if any of you is ill or on a journey, the prescribed number should be made up from days later. And I think we really need to discuss this, because we really want to be, as Muslims, we want to be along with the conversation of the group as a whole, fasting. But at the same time, we don't want to be making up days later on by ourselves, you see. But it is important that we heed the advice of Allah given to us in this verse. If we are traveling, we should make those days up later. If we're ill, we should not fast those days of being ill or traveling and make those days up later. For no other reason, because it's in the Quran, first of all, without even getting into any back and forth on it. If this is Allah speaking, this is not me speaking or you speaking. This is Allah speaking. Allah says, if you're ill or on a journey, don't fast. And I heard Imam Muhammad speak on that. Somebody said, well, now we have planes and we have modern technology and traveling out is hard. And then Imam asked the question, he said, don't you think that Allah knew one day that we would have planes and modern modes of travel when he revealed that verse? So we still have to obey that verse. Now, it's really about obeying, Brother Lucifer, you know? That's the key. It's about obeying. It's about being obedient to the guidance. Okay. It says fasting for a fixed number of days. It says for those who can, with hardship, that we should feed one that is poor, indigent, or needy. One of the days that you cannot fast. Because there are some that can't fast at all. They're just in their situation with their health. They can't fast, period, in any day of the year. But Allah says to make up for that, or to compensate for that, go feed someone that is poor. And they asked Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, what should they feed him? I think it's in the Quran too, that what is a regular meal for you that you will be satisfied with? Well, that's what you should give to the poor. You should not give the poor person less, or a cheap meal, or a meal that you wouldn't eat yourself. You can't give them scraps, leftovers, or cheap food, or non-nutritional food even. You have to feed them with a meal that you would consider yourself to be a good, decent meal. And that can be a way of making up for those days missed for fasting. But then it says, but he that will give more of his own free will, it is better for him. It says him, that also, that's good for him or for her, male or female. But then Allah says, and it is better for you that you fast if you only knew. So, alhamdulillah. I think Brother Mustafa is working with his car right now. What I'm going to do, I'm going to ask for my listeners to be patient with me. I'm going to ask our listeners to be patient. I talked with Imam Nasser this morning, and he said he would be here. What I'm going to do, if our listeners can be patient, I'm going to play a song for a few minutes while I go make his phone call to Imam Nasser. Because if he was here, he would have pressed 1 on his phone. And he pressed 1 would allow him to come into the conversation. So, dear listeners, please be patient. Inshallah, I'll be right back. Going to play a song. This song here is about 25 years old, Brother Mustafa. Maybe older. But it's a very good song. So I'll be right back, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for your patience. Imam Nasser Akhmed will be here very shortly, inshallah. You know, I think what happened, you know, years ago, Indiana, we used to be on Central Time. And we didn't change. We was on the same time year round. And therefore, half of the year we were on Central Time and half of the year we were on Eastern Time. And so he had, I think gotten the times confused. He thought we were on Chicago time. But right now we are on New York times. So that's what's happened. So he is calling. There he is. That's him and Nasser Ahmed. We bring our brother on right now.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam Nasser Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum. How you doing, sir?
I'm fine, brother Imam. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear. Yes, sir. Thank you for joining Words Made People. I have already explained to the listeners that Indiana, once upon a time, could not make their mind up if it wanted to be Eastern Time or Western Time or California Time. So, you know, and I didn't tell you. I told you 1 p.m., but I should have told you that we finally got our act together. We're on New York time all the time.
Now, you know, I used to work in India. I used to do my surgeries with patients out there. And back then, it was on an hour behind. That's why my mind was a little off. I thought I had at least 40 more minutes. I'm feeling guilty, so I apologize.
Well, let me guess at this. Even though Indiana is on Miami time year-round, except for Gary, Indiana, and Evansville, they still on Chicago time. So
Now you gave me my excuse.
Alhamdulillah. let's get into our conversation if we may.
Okay. All right. I want to say we are thankful to Allah for this program that you have had now for a while. And your audience and the many contributors that have worked with you on the program, I give my thanks and my appreciation to all of you, you know. And
yes,
I say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I bear witness that there's only one God and that Muhammad is his messenger, our prophet, sent to all of humanity. And I would like to mention to you, may have already said this, but I guess it won't hurt to repeat it, that this particular month, it has three sections. And the first section of the month is the mercy of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's 30 days, and the first 10 days is called the mercy of God. And it's like the little child when it's born, it gets his food, it gets it gets his clothing. That's God's mercy. What did the child do to earn the milk, to earn the clothing? Didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So
the
first 10 days of our fast is the days that we are seeking mercy from God, and he gives it to us to give us our best start in life. For example, the mercy of God is your eyes. The mercy of God is your ears. Any of the limbs, any of the organs, those are the mercy from God to the human being. And I'm giving this to many non-Muslims who are listening on your program so that they can understand how we are using the term. Then in the second 10 days, it's a period that is called forgiveness. And most people say we seek God to forgive us for the things we've done wrong. That is exactly true. But more importantly, is for the person to forgive themselves first. You know, if I smoke a cigarette, I'm destroying my lungs. Don't I need to forgive myself? If I'm drinking alcohol, I'm destroying my liver. I'm going to end up with cirrhosis of the liver. So the number one person that needs forgiveness is me, myself. And after I have sought forgiveness for the disrespect that I've done to myself, then I should go to God and ask God to forgive me for the wrong that I have done to this perfect body that he gave me. And this is important for your listeners. In the Islamic religion, we don't have where the flesh is sinful. In the Islamic religion, we have the flesh is innocent, pure, and excellent. And it is the mind that later gets wrong ideas that burdens the perfect flesh. It's the wrong ideas from the culture, from the society, that will drive the mind to go get a cigarette. But in the beginning, when it's in the womb of its mother, it doesn't smoke cigarette, doesn't want a cigarette. All it wants is fresh air. So when it's, what, 14, 13, 35 years old, now all of a sudden ideas come in that are contrary to the health of that perfect body. And so people, they misplace where the, they say the sin is in the flesh. No, the sin is not in the flesh. The sin is in the mind from the corrupt culture. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing is called freedom from hell. And most people think that's the hell that you die and go to under the earth. Well, that's true, too. But the more important hell is the hell that the person brings in their life while they are alive. We put ourselves in hell living while we live by doing things that our conscience tells us not to do. So that's the first hell that the human being experiences. And then after he physically dies, if he hasn't made effort to correct himself and reconcile himself with his Lord, God that he believes in, and the excellence of his life, then he gets the second hell. This hell here is only temporary. You don't get the hell here maybe 6 years or maybe 20 years or maybe 40 years, something like that. But the hell we're talking about is the hell that you have what they call for eternity. And that's a choice that the human being makes on his own. So I am so thankful that you have this call-in program. And let me just say one more thing for your listeners. The fast of the Muslims is called a Ramadan fast, and it came after the Christians. The Christians have their fast, and the Jews have their fast. But what I want to say to you, the Ramadan fast comes on what we call Din al-Fitra, which means the religion of nature. Whatever the Muslim is doing, you find it in nature. So the fast of the Muslim begins in Ramadan, and Ramadan is the ninth month. And that's the month in which most human beings are born, the ninth month. So the Ramadan fast comes in the ninth month because the perfect body of the human being is born in the ninth month. You understand that? So now we need a perfect body. So this perfect mind has to come from somewhere, and the womb of the perfect mind is the ninth month in which the Muslim is reading the Quran. And so language is the womb of the mind, as the stomach is the womb for the body. I hope I'm making that clear. So just as the body is born in the ninth month, then the Quran was revealed in the ninth month so that the mind could be impregnated with the words of the Quran and the mind be born in the ninth month. Allah Akbar. We thank Allah so very much, brother.
Let me just follow up. Let me just follow up with that. I'm not sure that we have conceptual life, which you just said, referring to the ninth month. The physical body, the physical body we have, in most cases, had its development in 9 months. But you say Ramadan in the ninth month is a different type of womb. It's not a womb for the development and birth of the physical body as a physical mother, but it's a womb in the sense for the development of our mind. But that development comes from reading the Quran during the ninth month.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes. That's correct. Because as I said, the mother's womb is her stomach or her uterus, I'm trying not to be too technical, womb for all of our physical bodies. That all of us come through the womb or her stomach. But that's for the perfect body, the perfect body that God needs. But for the perfect mind that God wants, for the mind God wants, That mind needs a womb. And the womb for the human mind is language.
Mm.
It's language. So you can study math, and then you have a mathematical womb. You study chemistry, you have a chemical womb. But if you want the perfect human being, you have to have the Quranic womb. And for Christians, to help them understand, you have to have the pure biblical language. You can't have the Bible language that's been changed. You have to have the original teaching of Christianity that's been unchanged. Then you have the pure womb of language to give you the mind that God wants you to have as a Christian. But if you have a Bible that has been over and over and over, you do not have the original teachings of Moses. You do not have the original teachings of Christ Jesus. Therefore, the Quran now is the option. Because the Quran cannot be changed by any human being. Cannot do it. The Quran, for your listeners, the Quran listeners, I know many of your listeners have seen the Quran with pages, and you turn the book, and you see the English on the page, and you see the Arabic on the page. But we're not talking about that. The Quran didn't start with a book on pages. The Quran started with a revelation on the heart of Muhammad the Prophet. And so we now have millions of people who have memorized the Quran by heart. They don't depend on written pages. So that's how I mean it. That's the way that I mean it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very good. Okay, good.
I wouldn't say this, Brother Matt. I don't want a Christian to be offended. I don't want a Jew to be offended. Please listen to this explanation from Imam Ibn Muhammad. Imam Muhammad said, scriptures that came before the Quran, as long as they were in their original language, they were the word of God at that time. That's a very powerful statement. That's a beautiful statement for Muslims to give credit to the Bible and the Torah. As long as it was not changed, no verses were lost, no chapters were lost, then those were the words of God. And that's what we Muslims love. We love the original scripture of the Jews and the Christians. We love it because we know it from the same one God that we worship. But we're saying if you don't have that original text, then you should know that the continuation of the scripture is the Quran that came to Muhammad the Prophet. And it is unchanged and it cannot be changed. And thank you for allowing me to say that, because sometimes we say things that will offend non-Muslims. So
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes. Praise be to God. Let's take some questions. We want to get our listeners engaged as well. Not right now, but just on some of the do's and don'ts, the etiquette of fasting. But before getting to the fast, let's talk about the what we call in the Arabic hilal, H-I-L-A-L, which is the new moon or the sighting of the new moon. You have any thoughts you'd like to share with us on the new moon? Before you answer, because we know we have an ongoing debate, should it be sighted with the naked eye, or can we use the weather's man, the science calculations?
Okay. This is excellent. Okay, alhamdulillah. Prophet Muhammad says that it has to be witnessed by at least two believers with the physical eye. But we know Allah has blessed us with science. So we won't disrespect science, but science needs to be supported by the human nature. You see what I mean? Even if you use science, you depend on the eye and the ear to translate that science.
Yes, sir.
Get away from it. But you know, when you say the hilal, the hilal is the moon that means the beginning moon. And to be honest with you, it's the real moon that we have to start the fast with is called a black moon, hilal. And you can't see that moon. Now, I'm explaining this to you why it's so important. The moon is what starts the Muslim fast, and the moon is what ends the Muslim fast 30 days later. Reason why is because the moon is in the same shape of a woman when she's pregnant. If you look at the shape of a woman, she looks like a crescent, like the letter C, right? The letter C. And in science, it says the beginning of the moon is what? The crescent moon, which is also what? The shape of a letter C. So I'm showing that the human being, his religion can be found in nature. All the things that he's asked to do, found in nature. And also, when we fast with the halal that begins in the night, the human being begins his life for 9 months also where? In the night. There's no light in the womb of the mother. So it and it's carried out. Now, when we take our fast, we do not eat in the daylight. We eat when? At night. As Allah started us under our mother's womb, we didn't eat in the daylight. We only ate at night. So now, what does this mean? What does this mean? The meaning is, in darkness, the human being is where he begins. It means he begins in nature. Nature's sign is darkness or blackness. If you close your eyes, you close your eyes in blackness. You go to sleep in what? Darkness or blackness. And out of that darkness and blackness of the mother's womb, then you get the light. And the light we mean is knowledge. So likewise it is with the moon. When the moon begins, it's totally black. And then as it progresses on, the moon gets more and more light. You understand what I'm saying? From a crescent moon to a full moon, which means the human mind, from depending only on nature, eventually becoming a full enlightened mind, depending on scripture and the truth that's in nature. Those are the meanings. So it begins with the Hebrew, which is the human being beginning in the darkness of his womb, of mother. And just like you can't see that Hilal moon, if you have the real moon, you can't see it. It's called a black moon. And you can't see the human being when he's in the mother's womb. It's all pattern after nature.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. So going for the Hilal, which is the new moon, which is really a black moon, or at the best, it's a little bitty thin sliver, as you said, in the shape of a sea. But as the month goes on or it progresses, then this moon is symbolic of the intellect, and it grows quarter moon, half moon, full moon, till it has its own light.
Right.
The moon don't have its own light. It can only reflect the bigger light.
You took my thunder. What I was going to say.
No, we're going to share it.
The moon does not have its own light. It reflects the light of the sun. So the moon is reflective of the individual. The individual does not have his knowledge. He comes here with no knowledge. And he grows into the knowledge of the light in the world, of the knowledge of God placed inside of the world that man has to discover and bring out of the world.
Yes, sir.
So every human being, he's symbolic of the moon. When he's first born from the mother's body, there's no knowledge. And as long as he becomes like the moon, he becomes fuller and fuller and fuller of knowledge.
Yes, sir.
But it's not
that's
being reflected to him. That's what anybody who is listening needs to understand. Whatever knowledge you have, it is not yours. That's a gift that has been given to you.
Very well said.
But I'm a surgeon because I got borrowed knowledge. I borrowed it from medical school.
That's right.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. What is the proper way to begin a day of fasting? We get up a certain time and all that. And also, the proper way to begin the fasting, and what does that mean?
Okay.
And also,
now you
know, then how do we end the day, and what does that mean?
Okay. Now, for Muslims, the day doesn't begin when the sun rises. The day begins when the night begins. So like today, I'm doing this for your listeners. We say the day started because after 12 o'clock we see light. No. In the Islamic religion, The day begins with the night. When the night comes, that's the day. So the fast begins for Muslims in the night. It begins in the night.
Mm-hmm.
So we begin the fast, and around this time, what is maybe, depends on where you are in the country, it could be 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. It's called dawn, the dawning, Fajr time, dawning. Some say about 30 mm-hmm. minutes before the Fajr time, you rise up, you wash yourself, you eat a breakfast called suhuma. We call it suhuma. You take your food, and then most people, they will read the Quran, maybe, but they first, after they take eat the little food, they will make the prayer, what we call units of prayers that we make. And there are four units that we make. We call them rak'ah, Fajr prayer. And this is a prayer that we make when the sun has not risen. When the sun has not come up, that's when we make our prayer. The first prayer we make to Almighty God. And the Muslims, we pray five times a day. And we pray five times a day because we want the prayer to five senses. And this is what most people, they don't understand. The human being is a creature who's influenced through his five senses, hearing, seeing, taste, smell, touch. And some things can come through the mind subconsciously. And so, if it's more importantly, if it comes through subconsciously, that's the purpose of prayer, to wipe away the subconscious negative influence that we weren't aware of. That's one of the many mm-hmm. reasons for making prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So the first prayer is Fajr prayer. That's said at dawn when the sun has not risen, meaning that we are looking for God to help us before we have any knowledge. Any knowledge of math, mm-hmm. chemistry, or business, or whatever, the first one you seek is not man's knowledge, but God. So then you make your prayer. Then after you make prayer, most people, if they have the time, they'll read 1/30th of the Quran. The Quran is 114 chapters, and it is divided into 1/30th per day. So they have to read mm-hmm. 1/30th of the Quran. After 30 days, you would have completed the entire reading of the Quran. So mm-hmm. that's the purpose for it. Then throughout the day, there's no eating of food. There's no sexual relationship with your husband or your wife. There's no water to be taken, as long as you're healthy. If you're sick and you're under a doctor's care, then you have exemption. But those of us that are healthy, these are the rules for us. If you're not insane, if you're not mm-hmm. under puberty, you don't fast. If you're insane, naturally you don't fast.
mm-hmm.
So at any rate, do this for 30 days. Now, when the sun sets, then we break our fast. That means now we are allowed to eat food. And we do it in the tradition of Muhammad the Prophet, wherein the first thing we take is water, and then we take dates. And this has great meaning again. The first thing we take is water, because the first thing that breaks when we're born into the world is the water bag of the mother. Right?
That's mm-hmm. That's right.
First thing we take is water. And then we eat dates. And dates has been discovered by science now, because Prophet Muhammad established it, is the most complete one food that you can eat. Dates.
Hmm.
You know, if you only ate dates, you could survive.
No?
Yeah. Yeah. So now,
then
after that, you can eat, you know, what is organically natural, like a banana, like an apple. When you break your fast, you can't break it with a Hostess Twinkie, you know. You can't break it with chocolate cake and ice. And the reason for that, it is saying that we should not feed our mind like we feed our body. If I feed my body something artificial, like cake and ice cream, then most likely I'm going to feed my mind with something artificial, like Easter and Santa Claus. No disrespect. You understand?
Because
I'm in the habit of taking in something else for my body, I'm going to turn around and do the same thing for my mind. So the principle of breaking the fast this way is to try to instill in all human beings, not just Muslims, that you make sure that what you're taking in your mind is natural from nature that God gave you And don't take anything from your mind that's artificial that man gave you. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes,
real, real deep.
Yeah.
That's how all of the prophets, you know, Jesus, Moses, all of them had this great insight that I'm sharing right now. But it was Imam W.J. Muhammad that made it so clear so that we could see the other prophets, you know. And they had the same contribution, same innocence of nature. But it's enshrouded in too much mysticism. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. I want to ask you a question, and for the listening audience who may not know, sometimes you hear us say Imam Nasser Ahmed, and sometimes we say Dr. Nasser Ahmed, and the reason being because he's a dentist and he's a surgeon in the line of dentistry. So the next question I'm going to ask you, you are qualified in both respects, because some people say the Muslims should not brush their teeth during the daytime. What are your comments on that?
Oh, I love you. Let me say this to you. You could put water in your mouth, toothpaste. You could put a loaf of bread in there, as long as you don't swallow it. If you swallow it, then you have violated. So you can gargle, you can brush your teeth. And see, the answer is Islam is so common sense, you know what I mean? Yeah. And
that's
look,
true.
For your listeners,
that's
true. There was a man in the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad, I forget his name, but one of his close companions, he took in some food, and he forgot that he was fasting, and he vomited the food out. And he told Prophet Muhammad about the story that he forgot that he was fasting, and he regurgitated the food back. So Prophet Muhammad
did he self-induce the vomit?
Yeah.
He forced it. Okay.
So what happened was, he was so conscientious of obeying the rules of the fast, which is a good thing for, you know, believers trying to obey, till he forced himself to regurgitate when he stuck his finger in his throat. You know what I mean? So he took the story to Prophet Muhammad, and Prophet Muhammad told him, you should have kept it because that was a gift from God. That was a mercy from God. Meaning that some of us, we don't know our state of health on a given day. So God knows your health better than you do. So God will cause you to forget because on that day, you need some water and some food. But you don't know it, you know. And I have friends that work in construction. And they tell me when they're on the roof, one day that one man was walking off the roof and other men had to grab him. Now, he was a Muslim. And I told him, when you're in a condition like that, you break your fast. You don't put your life at risk. So for those persons who are sick and who have trouble with their health, they are exempt from fasting. But they just have to make it up at a later day and time. Mm-hmm. When they're in a more safe environment.
Yes, that's the reason that we had shared from the Quran before you came. And I was sharing with the listeners my own experience. Then about 4 years ago, I had my appendix removed during Ramadan. But I'm so anxious to get back into the fast. You know, I'm going to try to be a super Muslim. I'm going to be a micro Muslim. I'm going to fast anyway while I'm healthy. But it didn't take long for me to realize that I'm really disobeying Allah by doing that.
Absolutely.
Because my body reminded me that I wasn't ready, you know, so. Yes, sir.
Now, I want to go back to this. Following the dictate, each day the believer has to try and struggle to read 1/30 of the Quran. At least 1/30.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being that the human development is subject to the environment. You know what I mean?
Okay.
The environmental influences have a way of altering the natural functional life of the inner person. The culture does this. And thus it changes the normal movement of thought in the normal spirit in the individual. The culture does. You know, and most people tell me that what I'm saying is not true. So I asked them, why do advertisers on television with great football games pay $1 million per advertisement if you're not going to influence the person? So they withdraw the question after I posed that situation.
Mm-hmm.
When we say he's spiritual, you know what it simply means? That he's a creature that can be influenced. Spiritual means influence. So we're all spiritual, or we all can be influenced. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And so people get spiritual mixed up with some sanctimonious holy roller, you know, walking in a style of rosaries on his hand. You know, they think that's spiritual. That's not spiritual. Hell, an atheist is spiritual. That means he was influenced to be an atheist.
That's why they influenced, yes, sir.
A horse is spiritual. They say that horse has great spirit. So it means that God has created everything with the nature to be influenced. Every animal, every plant, every man is spiritual. But
yes, sir.
We church conflict and lose the deeper meaning and lose the great benefit.
Yes, sir.
So anyway,
let me say this.
I got to say this from my mind. Allah has to come into our environment with his own word. Just like, you know, you walk into the environment of your home, you walk into the environment of masjid. The environment for the person is his mind. So Allah has to come into that environment with his word, with something here for us to feed on. Our soul, or the inner being, is awakened and then freed from the gravity of improper attachment. That's the problem. You know? It's not the body. The mind that's improperly attached to a car, to a house, or another person. So it needs help to break the gravity. And what breaks that gravity is knowledge. So the real person is the knowledge that supervises his own mind. That is the person. So we live by the knowledge that supervises us or our thoughts, and that's why we read the Quran daily. I'm making this plain for Muslims. And Christians, you can do this with your Bible. The concept is the same. So we want to take on a new natural mind, which is our original mind. And scripture is to help you get that original mind back. Any scripture, that's its purpose. So I'm going to let y'all talk. You know what I mean? Because I'm feeling guilty now. I'm dominating the conversation. But trust me.
No, you are, I guess, and I'm sure that the listeners are really appreciating what you're saying. I know that I am. So alhamdulillah. I know some Muslims who are on medication. I spoke to two of them here locally, and they said, well, they're just going to shift and take their medicine at nighttime, so they can continue fasting. What are your comments on people who have to take certain medicines?
You have to talk with the doctor. Because sometimes medication, they have to talk with their physician. Because sometimes we give our medication, and the medication is in the blood for a certain period of time. It's called plasma level. And the average medication has its efficacy or its medical effectiveness, say, for like 6 hours. Then after that, it starts to wane, starts to decrease. And that makes the patient susceptible to any germs or whatever that may be in the environment that relates to their condition. So they have to talk to the physician to see if he recommends them scientifically, because science is also truth. Medicine is also truth. Like you read the Quran, is truth. 2 by 2, 2 plus 2 is 4, is true. And medicine, I'm talking about natural medicine. I'm not talking about the garbage that you're giving us from pharmaceutical companies. Most of that is not medicine. It's filler. But the real physicians I'm talking about, they know that certain of us need certain medications at certain levels, certain blood plasma levels, at certain given amount of time. For example, I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. If you eat meat, you know, you digest meat, it takes 8 hours. I'm giving them an example, okay? Just meat, so you can understand what I'm saying. People, they'll eat meat in breakfast, then they turn around and eat meat at lunch, then they turn around and eat meat in the afternoon, and turn around and eat meat at dinner. They haven't given the first dose of meat a chance to be digested. You understand what I'm saying? And then that makes the person... So the fast of Ramadan is to try to get the person to discipline themselves so that they're not harming themselves with the thing that is legal for them. The very legal thing can kill you when eating it or taking it in too often. Water can kill you. If you can drink too much water, you drown in your lungs. This is a fact. You eat too much food, you bust your gut. This is true.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, so just for my own clarity, maybe for others too, you say the real doctor or the natural doctor. How can one tell which doctor is the best?
Yeah. Yeah. You'll know this doctor because he respects the rule of nature. Nowadays, you're having many of the physicians and dentists that are being trained in medical school. They're also learning medicine. Not that they do it for 4 years. We might get maybe 6 months of it now, which is more than what I got when I was in medical school. And these will say, here is the pharmaceutical medication, and they will also say, here's the naturopathic medication. And they will use the key to suggest to have. Now, that's the best doctor. When he respects the naturopathic, he is in power, and that's the one he says. If he has no respect for him, he says that he ain't no truth, man, you walk out his door. But he's not the best to help you, I'm telling you. He's not the best to help you. Sometimes I have cancer. I've taken the cancer patient, done all this cancer surgery, thousands of dollars of cancer surgery, and there is no result. You know what most doctors at that point will tell that patient? Go to hospice. I don't tell them that. I tell them go to the naturopathic doctor, go to California, go to Mexico, go to England if you have to, and get the alternative medication approach because it does work. This type of approach is all about the dollar. And they know that those things work. So listen here. They'll put you on medication, and the medicine will not kill you, but it'll string you out. So normally you should have been healed in a year or 3 years at the max. You're taking this same medication for 30, 40 years. That's not right. The only time you need that medication is when you have lost the organ. You understand what I'm saying? Say like the kidney is dead or it's been diseased. Or the spleen is removed. Okay, when some tissue has been destroyed, then you need something continuously as a supplement. But the majority of Americans, they don't need that. They need medication, as I'm saying, the most for 3 years, and then bring them on supplements. And the supplements, the natural supplements, the healing. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I have a question here that was brought to my attention. Should women who are pregnant, should they fast? Or is there a certain trimester or when they should not fast?
Yeah. The most dangerous part for a woman in pregnancy is the first trimester, the first 3 months. That's what we call organogenesis, meaning that's when the special organs are forming, the brain, the heart, the kidneys, the lungs, that kind of thing. That period is very dangerous. So she, again, has to take the consultation with her physician. Most women it's not a problem with, but there are some women that have special conditions, you know, and so they need to consult a physician. I won't give a point to say, you're the women, my wife fasted every Ramadan. She sure did. Most of the sisters in the masjid did. Unless they had, you know, special conditions, and the physician told them not to do it, you know.
Right. Okay. Thank you. The question came to me was, when and why did fasting begin in the month of Ramadan? What in the history of the Prophet or within Islam says, why was Ramadan chosen?
Oh, my goodness. That's a beautiful question. You know, I thought, and most Muslims thought, that the fast in Islam And prayer began right there in the mission of Prophet Muhammad. It did not. The prayer came in later in his mission, and the fasting came in, I think, in the 15th year, the 12th or the 15th year. I have to check up.
Mm-hmm.
The scholars know. You know, I'm certain I'm right. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, the first 10 days I told you about was the mercy of God. I forgot to tell you that. The first 10 days, it didn't matter. The second 10 days is the forgiveness. Well, you know the
rules. Yeah, you mentioned that. You mentioned that.
Hell, okay? Yeah. So
mm-hmm.
now, what is with the fast and the prayer beginning 10 and 15 years later, after he started his mission, is a proof of
mm-hmm.
mercy. That's the mercy. That, can you
mm-hmm.
imagine somebody in the very first year of Prophet Muhammad trying to fast? They have no idea what they're fasting
mm-hmm.
for. Trying to make prayer, they don't
mm-hmm.
know who they're praying to. So the prophet had to make clear who Allah was. He wasn't an idol. Allah wasn't a female. It took 15 years to get people to understand that. Look, they used
mm-hmm.
to be standing in the front line, and they would be drunk. And they would bend down in ruku and keep rolling. Or they'd come back. Then in the Revelation stage, Allah said, well, Ya Rasulullah, can't you do something about this alcohol? And the revelation came. So I'm showing you the mercy in this religion. But none of us know that a truck man in the prayer line today and started wobbling. We're going to have some words.
Yes,
today.
Sir.
That. But
yes,
said,
sir. Well, you know,
because this is religion, we still give them. You know, I myself, my administration, I don't put the laws on them like I put somebody been around here 15, 20 years. I practice like the prophet did. I give them time to grow in the religion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I tell them
mm-hmm.
this is what
yes,
I'm doing. I'm pressuring them like I'm pressuring one of us. Because I take
that's
that
right.
as a hint. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're running
them
to be critical, and they're still doing these things. They haven't grown, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, this is good. You know, we're into our second hour. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I'm gonna move to another room because this is the Shura meeting, and I'm in the meeting with the Shura, and I'm 5 minutes late. So let me let them go ahead and conduct the Shura meeting, and I'll just go to another room, and I don't have to interfere with it. Okay.
Yes,
so,
sir.
So you don't talk, you know, I'll talk too once I get in another room.
Yes, sir. Yeah, good. Yeah, when you change your room, I just want to have a little comment. Because not only are you a medical dentist, doctor, and imam, you're also a very good comedian, you know, and I like that. Because there are a lot of times in the delivery and how it's delivered, it's really powerful. Alhamdulillah. Also, we're into our second hour. And so at this time, for our listeners, if you have a question or a comment, but the comment has to be brief, please, in brief, so we can get in as many callers as possible. But you can press 1 on your phone, and we will work you into our conversation. You're listening to Words Make People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir, with my co-host, Brother Mustafa. Brother Mustafa, do you have anything you want to ask Imam Nasser at this time? Okay, he maybe he'll be right back. Brother Imam, are you ready now?
No, I'm still moving. I'm gonna move. I'm still in the conference room.
Okay. Yes. So this is coming up to, okay, he's going to have to call back. He just dropped his call. I'm sure he can call right back. But at this time for our listeners, if you have a question you want to ask Imam Nasser, you can press 1 on your phone, and we will work your question and brief comment into the conversation. He's a man with a lot of knowledge and wisdom, this would be a good time to ask those questions that you may have. So as soon as he called back in, I see where his call dropped. I'm sure he'll be calling the mic back very shortly. And when he do, we'll bring him into the conversation. So we're looking forward to the beginning of Ramadan. We think it's the first day most likely, the way it's looking for North America's fighting, most likely is going to be on, the moon will be sighted on Friday night.
Dear believers, this is a pre-recorded program. Today is February 11th, 2014, but today's program is a pre-recorded program from 2017. So please do not be confused by the dates given. Back to our recorded program.
Sixth, it should be visible, but most likely we're going to begin fasting on, not eating on the morning of Saturday, or next Saturday, inshallah. Now we have Imam Nasser back with us.
Yes, I'm back on the phone.
I yes, sir. Yeah, no problem. All right, now, here's a question we get very often that I'm sure you can be give us some help with. What is the meaning of Shaitan is locked up during Ramadan? Is that based in the Quran or Hadith? Because that will come up all the time.
You're giving some wonderful questions. Man, oh, man, oh, man. You think a lot. Muhammad the Prophet, that is the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad. It's legit. And let me just plug a little something in here to give me a little time. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. The condition of Ramadan, again, is a wound. It's a period of a wound. And not the physical state of the womb, okay? And you know, in the womb, the baby cannot be influenced to do anything wrong. You can't influence a child. As long as that baby's in the mother's body, you cannot influence it to lie, to cheat. So Ramadan is a mental womb for the human being. And the human being who takes the fast of Ramadan, he has protecting angels on his ears, protecting angels on his eyes, on his taste buds, all of the five senses of which information comes through to the human being have protecting angels because there's a special person in that body. And if you fast during the month of Ramadan, Satan cannot influence you. This is a fact. This is indeed, you know, Your moral sensitivity is heightened, you know. Your purity is heightened. Innocence is heightened. Anybody who's ever taken the fast, they will tell you they have experienced this sensitivity, you know, that is really protecting them. Now, here's the point. If a person fasts during the month of Ramadan, and if they die during the month of Ramadan, anybody who's fasting, they go straight to paradise.
Right.
And that's because they're back under the condition of the purity of the womb. But not the womb of their mother, but the womb of their mind. And what is coming in and influencing them is only the truth.
Yes, sir.
And
their intention
is only to accept.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Now, because I know a lot of Muslims say, you know, they say, you know, Satan's locked up. And you go watch the evening news, you say, well, they got the same amount of shootings and murders and craziness going on during Ramadan as not during Ramadan. So what does it mean by Satan's locked up? It just didn't make sense on the surface.
I got your question. The Satan, the first place that you find Satan is where? In the individual, right? Not a society outside, but each individual person. So if we have 10 people fasting, Satan is locked up in 10 people. Now, if you got 10,000 people outside and they are not fasting, Satan is free among them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for you. I'm saying this for you listening. We have to understand when we're talking as adults and when we're talking as children. If you understand Satan to be some invisible gas-like entity, then you're never going to understand what we're talking about. Satan is a thinking. Satan is a mind. And in order for that mind to express itself, it needs physical bodies to express itself. So I'm saying to your listeners, an invisible thing is never going to steal your car. It takes Satan inside of a human body that will steal that car. I hope I made my point clear. I hope I made that clear.
I mean,
if nothing invisible going to come and break in your house and steal your furniture, it's going to be a thinking, a mind that's full of lies and deceit in a human body, and that human body then is using the Satan thinking to rob your house. So when it says Satan is locked up, it's talking about it's locked up in the body of the individuals that are practicing the fast. So those who are not practicing the fast, Satan is free to do anything he want to do through their body. And I know this is a tough concept for many of your listeners because they never heard Satan described like that. Satan, in order for him to do something wrong, he must have a physical body to do it. Satan cannot do anything wrong without a human body. Am I still online or did I get dropped offline? Oh, boy.
No, sir. You're still here.
You're here.
You're loud and clear. Yes, sir. So when people want to blame things on Satan, they have to be very careful about blaming it on something invisible or something that they can't see. They think is floating in the air that's invisible. We have to look at it that it manifests in the thinking, the wrong thinking of people. That's where you're going to find the shaitan.
I want to share something that Imam Muhammad has given us. The Prophet gave us better understanding. You know, when you fast during the month of Ramadan, I'm saying this for your listeners mainly, that means that you're not eating food and you're not drinking water, you know, that kind of thing. Now, what that does, it awakens you to realize that you are not the physical body. See, most people, they are confused. They think that the physical body is them. You are not the physical body. The physical body is like the car you drive. The car you drive, it takes you to the store, it takes you to college, it takes you home, but you get out of that car. You are not the car, you're the driver of the car. So the same thing with Ramadan is trying to help the person understand you're not the physical body. You are the thinking. You are the mind. So what happens is that the nature of the body form or the flesh form is to make you do what it wants you to do, to aggravate you. You get hungry. You go get some food. You get sleepy. You go lay down. You see what I mean? That's the nature of the flesh body to make those things happen to you. There's nothing wrong with it, you know. And it does those things for the sake of you having physical life. So then, in that situation, we then accept to be driven by the world without. We're driven by a loaf of bread. We're driven by a steak sandwich. You see what I mean? The flesh form or this physical body without a disciplined mind is a selfish kingdom that you are living in. You see? Yeah. And that physical body pulls against the nasty motion that is supposedly going toward God or Allah, and it ends up reaching for vain things to satisfy itself. So the fast, because you're not eating food, you're not drinking water, it starts to make you realize that I'm more than this physical body. And the fast, it makes you... It makes your mind, the inner being, to awaken. And it makes your mind to stand up independent of the outer body. And although your body is crying for food, you, the mind, can no longer hear it. You have a problem beyond the flesh. And the mind has now separated from the outer body, and the mind is living in a world of its higher form. Because there's a force inside every human being that God puts inside every human being that wants something at the expense of every other force in your body. And that is to obey the will of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds very good. Yeah, let me
finish for your
listeners. Okay. And we have a call that I wanted to get to. But yeah, go ahead, please.
Go ahead.
Okay, we have a caller here. If you can give us your city and your name, they call from the 616 area code. You have a question or comment for our guest?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alaikum assalam.
Yeah, this just a comment. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brother Norman, I was enjoying. Brother Norman, Muhammad. I'm really enjoying our scholar, Brother Master Ahmed. This is one of the brothers, you know, wherever he at, if I'm close, I'm going to come and listen. It's just a blessing to sit and listen at one of our brothers that give this great insight from beloved man, W.D. Muhammad. And, you know, I just wanted to call and give him the greetings, you the greetings. And I'm going to get back now listen some more. And thank you. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak to both of you. Peace.
Thank you. He's a wonderful man. He's a great prophet. Great prophet.
Yes, he
You know that baby, when it's born, if you ever notice young children, 2, 3, 4 years old, you put a certain amount of food on their plate, and they'll automatically stop eating. Young children, you know, that we haven't given a lot of these artificial foods to. Now, what we do, that normal nature to be full with one-third of food, one-third of water, one-third of air, that's where the Prophet Muhammad told us, you know. What happens is that we take normal desire for just a small, less amount of food, and we got a mountain plate of food, you know. So what we end up doing is we make the flesh become a torment, a burden for us. We lead our flesh in this culture unknowingly. Most of us are innocent. We lead our flesh to become an enemy to us. And with the fast, it is now time to bring the flesh back into its natural life. And the way to do this is by restraining the appetites of the flesh that we took out of control. You see? So we have been blessed with this particular understanding that there is a need of the Ramadan fast that is saying that you need to break out of a self-imposed prison of ignorance. You see what I mean? That has been influenced officially from thinking and ideas that we acquired from the world. And the Ramadan has given us the opportunity to return back to the original soul's mind.
So that's the reason for fasting?
Yeah, that's the purpose of fasting. To bring my mind back to its original state. The state for me to desire a cigarette, that's not original. The state for me to design cocaine is not original. We didn't come in the world wanting those things. That comes from the artificial influences of our culture. And then those things impose and imprison us in ignorance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have a question I'd like to ask you. A lot of times, even with my good friends, you know, they're not Muslim, and they tell them Ramadan's coming, and they're like, oh, they kind of feel sorry for us. And really, in return, I'll be feeling sorry for them that they're not fasting. But what should we say
But what should we say to our non-Muslim friends who ask us, why are you fasting?
Right. Okay. It is because the human being in his flesh form is a delicate and fragile entity. And the more delicate any message is to be transmitted, the more delicate the instrument that is going to carry that message has to be. You know, and it's just like, you know, how you have a radio, and you can change the stations on the radio, right? Because the radio has different dials, or it means the radio has different sensitivities. So you can turn a radio to classical music. You can turn a radio to garbage music. You see, you have a choice. Mm-hmm. So the human being, most of we humans, we don't know how delicate and how refined we are. So you need the fast. You need something to give you this identity of yourself that no one has told you about. You know? And look, let me, as another analogy, when all of us were born, we had to be told that we were a boy, or we had to be told that we were a girl. We had to be told that we were Johnson, or we had to be told that we were Rahman. So we had to be told these things. So the same thing it is for our speciality, for our nobility that God has created us in. We need something that will bring us into that understanding, something that will introduce that to us. Just like I had to be introduced to my neighbor, just like I had to be introduced to my classmate, I had also had to be introduced to my mother. When I was born, I didn't know my mother. She was a stranger. When my father, he was a stranger. So the same thing with ourselves. With the excellence that we are on the inside, most of us as a conscious person have to be introduced to this delicate faintness. And that's the purpose of Ramadan. Yeah. You tell anybody, let me tell you real quick. If you eat four plates of food, big plates of food, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to start getting sleepy. The more food, the more likelihood you're going to get sleepy. The less food you eat and the more organic food you eat, you don't get tired. So Ramadan is trying to stop the person from eating food so that his stomach will no longer digest, but that his mind will now start to digest. Because the most important document, not in the stomach, is in the mind. And this is what we're trying to do. Most people can tell you, Imam Sahir, they can tell you their birthday. I was born October 30th, January 15th, August the 3rd. They can give you the birthday, but they're giving you the birthday of the body. The fast of Ramadan and the process of trying to get you to understand your most important birthday is the day you started thinking. And no human being can give you that day. Only God can tell you when you first started thinking.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I want to encourage our listeners to press 1 on their phone. They have a question or comment to ask. Email Dr. Nasser Ahmed. I'm not sure if my co-host has a question. I know he does. He's always full of questions. And so I'm sure he has one. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Mustafa. You have a question you want to ask?
Yes, sir, Brother Imam. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Nasser.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Yes, sir. It was a pleasure listening to you and talking to you. But, Doctor, my question is, I started my first class in 1999.
Yes, sir.
So during that time, fasting started, St. Ramadan started in December sometime.
So
I'm looking to complete that whole cycle of a whole year, you know, the month change, and we in May now. So before we go back to December, is that a complete 30 years or 29 years?
That's right. It takes about 30 years for a cycle. That's right. So approximately 30 years.
It's 32, I believe. Yeah.
32? Wow.
Yeah, we could, you know, we got a lot of our scientists. They can tell you the exact number. But it's around the 30s.
Yeah, it's in that range. It's in that range. Yes, sir. And I really appreciate what you've been sharing about this month of Ramadan. It's really inspiring me to look forward to it. You know, like you stated earlier, some people say they feel sorry for us during these days, but we really feel sorry for them.
For
you
them,
know,
yeah.
They don't have the understanding. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
We appreciate
yes,
that. We appreciate that. Yeah, we appreciate
yes,
their sensitivity.
Yes,
we thank God for them being sensitive to it, you know.
Yes, sir.
But you know,
yes, sir.
What we're trying to get your listeners to understand that this act of fasting really is helping the inner person to grow, you know,
mm-hmm.
to help them to overcome the natural gravity that acts to keep
mm-hmm.
the person from growing. You know, like the natural gravity that pulled on us when we used to crawl as a child. That's natural gravity. It pulls against
mm-hmm.
your human growth, you know. And the material needs or the desires, those pull against the human growth or the mental growth. So the solid and
mm-hmm.
scientific position in the Islamic religion is that the human mind cannot attain rational fulfillment without the aid of divine revelation. You can get all the PhD degrees you want, all the medical degrees you want, but you are not going to come to the fulfillment of the human mind without the aid
mm-hmm.
of Scripture. Although
mm-hmm.
the rational development comes before the prophet's development, it is the prophet's vision that ultimately is the mind's doorway to total fulfillment. And
yes,
this is what most people don't understand. They think, I don't need religion. I don't need Scripture. All I need is rational scientists. Well, scientists, the empirical scientists. Look at the state of our world if you think that's the truth. You know?
Yes,
we got all the empirical sciences you want. And what do we have? The greatest moral degradation in the history of humanity. So the scientific academic is not enough. The PhD is not enough.
Not enough.
Yes, sir.
And like you said earlier, Brother Emanuel, you answered one of my questions when I run into people, come in contact with people, where they say they're trying to find themselves. And if you want to find yourself, fast for Allah, and you'll find yourself quickly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's a cop-out. That's a cop-out in modern culture. It's a cop-out.
Yeah.
How you going to find yourself
sir.
When you was born and everybody found you? And you found your mom and your daddy. Mm-hmm. It's a cop-out.
Yes,
I don't want to accept responsibility.
That's what it is.
I guarantee you. Hey, look here. I guarantee you when he's hungry and he's at the dinner table, I bet you ain't no problem finding himself. He can find that fork and that spoon. You understand what I'm saying? So it's a cop-out.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Let me get my callers in. I want to thank my callers for all the words, my people. We take our first caller here. Caller from 909. Caller, give us your first name and your city, please.
Assalamualaikum. Assalamualaikum. This is Brother Ayman Abdul Mujib calling in from Los Angeles, California.
Yes, everybody, now.
I just want to say, everybody,
yes,
assalamualaikum. Excellent program. Excellent program. Just for the sake of clarity, though, I just wanted to know, now, when does the faster stop, you know, start his fast in the morning? How long before the sun? I mean, when I heard something about 30 minutes or something before sunrise.
You know,
just clarity.
Yeah,
I just want to get that straight.
Yeah, the clarity is in the Quran.
Yeah.
When you see the black and the white thread. You see what I mean?
Right.
So when you see that, I mean, that's the Quran. That's it. Nobody, none of us can argue with that.
Right.
Then there will come the schools of thought. One will say 30.
Right.
One will say
40. Right.
One will say
right.
how. I tell the individual, you follow your conscience.
Right.
Read what the scholars have to say. Read what they say, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. And know that the different scholars are going to differ. Just be aware of it. And
gotcha.
Then follow your rule that Allah inspires you to follow.
Yeah.
But the words is in the Quran. It's strictly there. You know?
Yeah. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because sometimes we have
I encourage them to read the different scholars.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is. It's misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And I encourage people who listen to us, please do not argue over this. It's not worth
right.
it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here's one guy, he's going to say 30 minutes. And another guy going to say an hour. And one is bit there to the other. This is not our community. We who follow Prophet Muhammad and under the man W. Muhammad's direction, we don't do that. Right. He said, let that man be judged by his intention with Allah, and the other man be judged by his intention with Allah. I'm not the judge.
Yeah.
I don't have the
history. Okay.
Brother Nasser, if I may push this a little further,
sure.
I heard you, Imam Muhammad, give a comment on that the white thread and the black thread, and the black thread being our nature being distinguished from the light. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah. And that's wonderful. You know, the Kaaba, when you see the Kaaba, it has the blackness in the lower part of the drape, and it has that little white band going around, right? If you can imagine the Kaaba, it's a dress, you know. And the Kaaba is symbolic of the human being. And it means that the human being, the darkness in the Quran, the blackness, the black thread, means that's nature. And nature has a logic. Nature has a truth. Nature will never deceive you. Nature never tells a lie. Nature. So that is the black line. And then we see the white line that's running parallel to nature. You see this in the morning. Every morning you can see it. So that means that the empirical, so-called rational sciences that we get out of nature should not contradict nature. That's what it means. So all of our sciences should complement, should parallel nature. In other words, I'm going to give it very specific, so there's no question in anybody's mind. In my field in medicine, we are now getting certain doctors to justify that homosexuality is acceptable. Now, that's empirical, so-called rational knowledge, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
That knowledge is in complete opposite of nature. Nature doesn't tell you.
Right.
Nature tells you you're a boy or a girl in the story. So that is the knowledge or the light that's not running parallel.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have other people that I'm ashamed to say this. I won't even say the person's name. We were in a conference. And this individual, he got up and he said that there is such a thing as an alcoholic gene. You know the genes and chromosomes? He said there's such a thing as an alcoholic gene. And he's saying that this is now being proven in science. Okay? That's pseudoscience. That's not science. It's false science. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at Quran there,
yes,
Fanny
sir.
Adam. And we made all of the children of Adam under nobility. So I asked this particular person, I said, would you tell that to Prophet Muhammad to his face? He got totally silent. I said, would you tell that to Christ Jesus to his face? Quiet. Would you tell it to Moses in his face? Got quiet. You know? So we know how to reach these people. They'll make these statements because they're the only man in the room. So the only man in the room is the wisest man. But when 2 or 3 and 15 and 20 other people start coming in that room, they start to back up and realize.
I got Asia.
Now, when it says that we can eat and drink,
right?
That we can eat and drink Wait a minute, I got noise in the background. We can eat and drink. Hold on. Yes, we can eat and drink until we can distinguish the black, and until we can see them parallel. So that is that saying? You know, I'm going off my own thinking now for an answer. Is that saying that we can't consume from the world until we come to a point to where we can see that parallel? I mean,
exactly.
Not just the 24-hour day of fasting, just life as a whole. You know, that we're allowed to eat and drink the halal foods, of course, and the halal drinks.
Until
our mind develops to where we can distinguish science and nature. But we've seen the parallel.
Alhamdulillah. See, most people, they're on the first level reading, you know. The first level reading is word for word. But now the second level reading is what you're doing right now. See, remember what all of us have to remember. We have the great scholars and all that, which we are to respect those scholars. Allah has sent them to help us. But we also have to remember we got the help in the Quran and in the Hadith as well, where Muhammad the Prophet said, every verse in the Quran is zahir wa batin. That's Arabic. Zahir means it's apparently what you're seeing word for word, and batin means it has hidden meaning. Just like batin means the baby is hidden in the womb. Don't mean the baby is not there. Mm-hmm. Means you can't see the baby. Yeah.
Very good.
So you are exactly right. We are not to get stuck on these rituals as simply word for word. They're much deeper and much richer meanings and insights.
Yes, sir.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
But you talk to people on the level that they're on, and they're comfortable on that level, then you speak to them on that level. You have to respect them. You know how they say, when you have a small child, that milk is for is for the baby, and meat is for the wise men. That's scripture, right? Because
yes,
it's what it's saying that is great wisdom in. When you have a baby, their teeth haven't developed. So if you give them meat, they don't have the teeth to cut the meat up, so you can kill that baby. Digestive problem. So likewise it is with knowledge. If the person is on the baby level and they haven't gotten into the teeth, and teeth in religion means the ability to break up a paragraph down to its words and down to its ideas and down to its concepts.
That's right.
They're not at that level.
That's right.
So we have to respect who they
are. And this is what we call this show from the words of Imam Muhammad, words made people.
Right. That's right.
Going to our next caller here. Yes, and thank you for listening for calling in to our show, Words Made People. This caller here is from the 973 area code. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
Yes. My name is Neophia, and right now I am in New Jersey.
Neophia?
Yes.
Okay.
We are taught that we learn through our five senses, right? I want to know if there is an answer to this question. What is it when we learn things and it does not come through our five senses?
Okay. Ready, ma'am?
Yes, sir. The human being is a special creature who does not only depend on his five senses. The five senses is the first development for the human. The human is a flesh creature, and then the human is a sense body creature. Sense means that he can sense through his five senses. And then the human being has an additional sense, or he has additional nature. So he not only receives information by the five senses, you are correct. But if we use the senses, we lose them. So there are persons who are, we call clairvoyant, people who have extrasensory perception. And extrasensory perception is a property of all human beings. But if the human being doesn't use it, he loses it. Just as your physical body. If you sit down on your legs for 14 days, you will not be able to stand and walk. Why? Because you didn't use the muscle. So the same thing on a mental level and the same thing on a spiritual level. If we don't use these faculties, we will lose them. And this is what the month of Ramadan is for, is to help us cultivate the other powers in the human nature that are useful. Alhamdulillah. So thank you for that excellent question. That's an excellent question, and it's good to bring out the identities that the human being has. Yes, ma'am.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, okay.
Uh-huh. You are blessed.
Yes, sister. Yeah, for you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling Works Made People.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
You're welcome. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah.
since you raised that question, let's take it a little further, you know.
Okay.
And I want to say this to the Christian listeners to help them with a better understanding. In the Islamic religion, we do not see the flesh as sinful. I can't say this enough. In Islam, the flesh is not sinful. In Islam, the body is your friend. God gives us a body, and it seems as though that the body is carrying us. You know what I mean? Like a car carries a passenger. We think the body is us. But in reality, you got to be patient with me. In reality, you are carrying the body. And most people, they have questioned this comment. They misunderstood it. And what it is saying that in reality, you are carrying a body. And if you don't believe it, when you get sleepy, you, the mind, when the mind gets sleepy, what does the body do? The body lays down. And when you wake up, what does the body do? The body gets up. You tell the body to get up. You tell the body to open the door. You tell the body to lift the spoon to your mouth. So the one that is doing the carrying is the consciousness or the spirit that's inside. So it is God that sent into his body from himself the spirit, the purpose, or the will that is to come into that body from God, like you get into your car. We have a will to do something, and in us also is God's will. There's two wills in us, our personal will and the will of God. And so I hope I'm not taking you out too far. there's God's will in me, and I have my will in me, okay? Mm-hmm. And I have my mind in me, and I have God's purpose in me for my mind. You see, all of this is in me.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it's going to decide my destiny, whether I decide to go to hell, to paradise or hell. I got to make the decision, but the two things are in me. That's a blessing for the human being to understand that in him is also God's will, but God would not force you to do this. He'll let you choose. And if you
choose,
he will give you assistance. He will help you to carry out that will.
So now we're talking about here free will, limited free will. I think that's important to touch on because Ramadan is a display of our willingness. So if we can talk about that, the focus, dedication, the submission, other one fasting.
Okay. All right. Now, let me say it to your listeners this way. And you know this to be true. Almost the whole life of the animal is ruled over by the drive to overcome hunger, right? That's what's driving the animal. The drive of the flesh for something to satisfy the flesh. Now, if you can control that very powerful drive, it not only gives you the power to withstand the flesh, but it helps you in every way because everything in the universe is related. So if I can control the body, then that's going to affect me and the ability to control my mind, to control my morality, to control my desire. So the fast is increasing the muscle of self-control. And this is the biggest problem for most people.
That's right. Yeah, most societies.
I got many friends. They say, I love what you say about Islam, but I just can't put down that cigarette. Yes, you can. You just need the power from the fasting of Ramadan. If you can stop drinking water and it's legal, if you can stop eating food and it's legal, if you can stop having sex with your wife and that's legal, then, buddy, you can sure stop smoking a cigarette.
Yes, sir. Yes, right. Yeah, we're coming down to about our last 12 minutes. Do you have any more questions you want to ask?
Okay, I guess he'll be right back. But, Brother Man, I'm going to begin. I'm going to take about a minute here and begin a concept, and I'm going to let you finish it.
Okay.
The mission of Christ Jesus is given to us in the picture language or the revelation of the New Testament. He has this scene that we call the Last Supper.
Yes, sir.
The Last Supper. And we know that Christ Jesus' mission ends with becoming dark. And we have the saying from Bible language, I'm the light of the world as long as I'm in the world. And they say when he was, as they give him this Bible picture, when he gave up the ghost and he died, that it became dark outside.
Right.
So this Last Supper, you know, supper is not breakfast, not lunch. Supper is the evening meal when the sun sets. The Prophet Muhammad's first meal began also in darkness.
Yes.
So can you share with us any connections with the mission of those two great prophets?
And
it's tied into the Ramadan. Go ahead.
We have in the story of Jesus, and there's a song that many of them sing in Christmas, Holy Night, Silent Night. I know the Christmas is being a problem. Beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
Night, Holy Night, you know, so on and so forth. And they have that. And it says that a star was seen, and three wise men saw the star, and they went to see the baby in the manger. He was born among animals. This is Christ Jesus. But it started in the night. It wasn't in the day. It was in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the Quran the same night. The Quran itself began in the night, called Laylatul Qadr. And we set the Quran down in the night of power. So this sacred night and this holy night has to do with civilization when it does not have a prophet which acts as the light. When it says Jesus is the Son of God, in the New Testament, it says, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world as long as I am in the world. That's the Bible. Beautiful people. But what the fault and the confusion is the people are saying that Christ Jesus is the Son of God, spelling it S-O-N. Meaning like the Father. But in this wonderful passage in the New Testament, where it says Jesus is the light of God, L-I-G-H-T, you then will have to spell it S-U-N. So Jesus is the S-U-N of God. He is the light of God, not the Son of God, but the illumination of light. And when he is alive, then there's no more darkness in the world because he's bringing the light of knowledge and understanding. So we have the same thing in El-Islam. Muhammad the Prophet, he was born, and his mother was the one that was alive, and his father was not alive. When he was born, he didn't have a father. Christ Jesus, he's the mother, but he didn't have a father. Christ Jesus was born in a manger around animals, according to the Christians, they'll tell you this, meaning that these animals commit sin. That's what the interpretation is, that he's around animals. No animals drink wine, smoke reefer, rob banks. So Christ Jesus was born in an environment of truthfulness. And Muhammad the Prophet, when he was born, his father passed away. His mother passed away when he was about 5 or 6 years old. And he was raised in the desert, not in the city of Mecca. He was raised in the desert, meaning that he was raised in nature. And nature cannot tell a lie. So both of these prophets, their first upbringing, their first influences was from an environment of truthfulness, honesty, and purity. That is the likeness of Muhammad the Prophet and Christ Jesus. That's how you see their similarities. And I want to say this to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching the time. I'm watching it. Christ Jesus, he was talking to the people, and one of his disciples came up and said, "Oh, Master, the people are hungry." And Christ Jesus said, "What do we have?" And they told Christ Jesus, "We have two fish and five loaves of bread."
Two fish and five loaves of bread.
Now, in Muhammad the Prophet, when he began the teaching of the Quran, he began with first five verses of the Quran. And it begins with Iqra, Bismi Rabbi Kalati Halaka, in Arabic. But the term is Iqra. And Iqra, if you translate it, one translation is to read, and another translation is to proclaim it. But we take the translation to read. And the reason why I say this, if you take the beak of a bread that Christ Jesus had, if you take the beak on, what you have left is what? Reed, R-E-A-D. Revelation to Muhammad was reed. So if you look at Christ Jesus and he had five loaves of bread, and you take the beak off, it's letting you know that Christ Jesus' attempt was trying to educate the people. The five loaves of bread is the five senses of the human being that he was trying to appeal to. And Muhammad the Prophet made it very clear with the revelation coming that says, read in the name of your Lord. So if you misunderstood what Jesus was talking about, Muhammad helped you. Yeah.
I have a question. Now, so can you say that the five loaves of bread is just an analogy for the five first ayats,
Absolutely. And the point of it being, you take it further for more exactness. You take the five loaves with the two fish, and you add the numbers up. What do you get? Seven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the seven verses that begin al-Fatiha. This is the Muslim Quran.
Yes, sir.
The first chapter in the Muslim Quran is seven verses, meaning that it's talking about the five loaves of bread plus the two fish. And if you count the number of senses that's in your head, you have one ear on the right, second ear on the left, that's two, one eye on the right, one eye on the left, that's four, one nostril on the right, one nostril on the left, that's six, and one mouth opening, that's a total of seven. And those are the seven ways in which information gets inside the human being.
Mm-hmm.
Seven. That's the seven in the Bible. That's the five fish and, I'm sorry, the five loaves of bread and the five fish. And al-Fatiha, if you translate al-Fatiha into English, it means the opening. And the seven holes in your head that I was talking about are the seven openings in which information gets into the mind of the human being.
Mm-mm-mm.
I hope I'm telling you all.
Yeah.
Listeners have to visualize it. Yeah. But I know.
Well, I say it this way here. Sometimes you have to cast your seeds broad, you know. Some going to take root today, and some going to take root tomorrow, but share it. Now, we're down to maybe our last, they tell me on my computer screen, we got about 3 minutes left. So let's kind of, if we can, give a summation. The main thing was to look at do's and don'ts of Ramadan and some of the meaning. So when we go into this month of fasting, we can go into it with richness, purpose, understanding. So I know it's going to be kind of hard, but you want to take a minute and two and give a closing statement on this conversation?
Yes. Thank God for giving us Ramadan that gives me the opportunity to be myself, the first self that God made. I'm 70 years old. I've been made by television, by movies, and I'm my original self. And every time I take fast of Ramadan, it makes me more and more the person that God made me at first. and less
yes, sir.
Hope has made me. That makes me excited. That makes
yes,
me excited. When you die on the first way that God made you, and you die that way, you go straight to paradise. That should be enough to excite anybody.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Give us a few words if you can on
you go straight to paradise.
Yes, sir. Very good. Just a couple of words, if you can, on the Eid al-Fitr, the celebration at the end of Ramadan.
Yes. The Eid al-Fitr is the celebration,
mm-hmm.
victory of nature. That now here's a person that fasted this month of Ramadan, and they have attained the victory of nature. Didn't smoke cigarettes, didn't drink wine, didn't lie, cheat, steal. They are at 40 and 50 and 70 years old, the same innocent child that they came into the world the day they were born. That is the greatest accomplishment you can have, to be at the age you are now with the innocence of the day that you were born. There's nothing greater than that. No money is greater than that. No power is greater than that. Nope. Nope.
Yes,
but I wish I had more time. I could explain that.
Well, you know, maybe we can bring you back next week, though, so we'll be
yeah,
interested on the time.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, maybe it's time to remember that, but we're down to our last minute, and so I do want to say thank you, Brother Imam Nasser Akhmed, for coming with us, sharing with us this wisdom in so many ways and forms that we can really apply it to our lives. And we give thanks to our listening audience as well for tuning in to Work Made People. And,
yes, we thank you.
And, yes, sir. Yeah, thank you. So please tune in next week for another segment of Work Made People. Who knows? Depending upon the doctor's schedule, we may have him back. I don't know. But
next week, I'm going to be near you the whole weekend in Chicago, the whole seminar to do in Chicago.
Oh, will you? Okay, okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, we'll get you off. Until next time, we say to our listeners, Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, Brother Imam. Thank you very much. Okay.